Rabbi said, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech Hey, 65. We are picking up on Samech Beis, Amud Beis. 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Lamembra. So first, I want to apologize. I realized I may have gone a little bit very, well, I may have gone very quickly in yesterday's shiur. So I apologize if it was too quick and there were certain parts that were not clear enough. I ask you, Mechila, if you make the time to come, I should make the time to elucidate properly. I'm sorry?
Can I go back?
I'm happy to go back. I don't know if people have plans for today. Yeah. Thanks. I thought I was just not clear for one day, Chaim. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so let's begin. So remember again, we're in the midst of an interesting sugya here. In machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So remember, the machlokes centered around the case where a father is mekadesh one of his daughters. Remember, we have two cases in the Mishnah. One is where he's being mekadesh his oldest daughter. Older daughter. One is being where he's being mekadesh a younger daughter. And the machlokes was, how do we interpret those statements? So remember, again, Rabbi Meir held that all of the daughters essentially are prohibited, with the exception of one, meaning depending on which case, depends on the one. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, held no, that in the case of the oldest daughter, it's only the oldest daughter who's Aser, or who's Mekudeshes. In the case of the younger daughter, it's only the youngest daughter, and therefore, those are their respective Shitos. So, Shitim Arsul Lememra, this is this to say, Rabbi Meir Savar, Machis in the Shnafshe the Seika, that ultimately Rabbi Meir holds that people make ambiguous statements. Rabbi Meir holds that people do make open-ended statements that sometimes open them up to doubt. Rabbi Yossi, clearly holds that what? People do not go ahead and make statements that are ambiguous and open-ended. But says the Gemara of Ha'ipcha Shamilim, but we learned just the opposite. This nan, Hanodir Ada Pesach. So we're dealing with cases now where a person makes a neder to prohibit something until Pesach. Well, we'll see what actually we'll see. The point is, they're making a neder to prohibit something for a defined amount of time. So, for example, let's say someone makes a neder and you fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what the neder is. I make a neder not to go ahead and eat apples ad Pesach, until Pesach. So, how do we interpret that statement? Ad aser ad shiagia. So, a person is aser at that point in time until Pesach arrives. So, we interpret the phrase ad haPesach to mean that the neder is upon the individual up until the beginning of Pesach. Ad shiagia, however, again, ad shiehei Pesach, if a person makes an eder, I won't eat apples, ad shiehei Pesach, so what does that mean? Aser ad shiyetze, then the iser ultimately is until the end of Pesach. So in other words, we interpret, ad shiehei Pesach means up until it will be Pesach, in other words, that until Pesach is over, the neder is in effect. Ad pinei Pesach, what happens if someone makes the following neder? I'm asering this item, ad pinei Pesach, until the face of Pesach. Rabbi Meir Omer Aser Ad Shiagia. So Rabbi Meir understands this statement in a one-dimensional fashion, that it means it's Aser until Pesach arrives. Rabbi Yossi says no, that the Isser, the Neder, is in effect up until Pesach ends. Now this is a kasha, why? Because in this case, Rabbi Meir is understanding that people do not make ambiguous statements. Therefore, Ad Pnei Pesach means up until the beginning of Pesach. Rabbi Yossi entertains the possibility that people do make ambiguous statements. Therefore, we don't know what this means. Does this mean the beginning of Pesach, the middle of Pesach, the end of Pesach? And therefore, to cover all the bases Rabbi Yossi holds, the Neder is in effect until the end of Pesach. Now, obviously, this contradicts the Shitos as espoused in the Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina bar Abdimi, it's not a problem, Amarav, Mukhlefes Ashita. The Braisa confused the Shitos. And in fact, again, you have to reverse Rabbi Meir. You have to reverse Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, again, if you reverse them, then this ultimately, again, aligns itself with the Shitos as espoused in the Mishnah. V'hatanya, so we'll say we have a Braisa that supports this switching of the Shitos. Zehaklal, this is a general principle. Kol Shezmano Kavua, Va'amr ad Pnei, anything that has a set time, like Pesach, and a person says that a particular neder should be in effect ad Pnei, until the face of this particular set time interval. Rabbi Meir Omer ad Shiyetze, Rabbi Meir ultimately says this means until the particular interval is over. Rabbi Yossi Omer ad Shiyagian. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's in effect up until it comes in. So we'll say, therefore, again, now that we've reversed the Shitos in the Mishnah, the Shitos and the Braisa agree with the Shitos of the Mishnah, namely, that Rabbi Meir holds that people do make ambiguous open-ended statements. Rabbi Yossi holds that people do not make ambiguous open-ended statements. Says the Gemara by there, Amar Abaye. So we'll say, now that Abaye is going to define. So remember again, The problem we had in the Mishnah is that a man was mekadesh a daughter. Right? He has two sets of daughter from two sets of wives. And the ambiguity is that when he was mekadesh his older daughter, so remember again, Rabbi Meir said, I don't know what older means. Does older mean the oldest of all of the daughters? Does older mean again? And does older, essentially, according to Rabbi Meir, because it's an open-ended statement, older daughter could refer to anyone who what? Who has a younger sister. Anyone who has, so therefore according to Rabbi Meir, the only girl who is not included in this, under this umbrella of doubt, is the youngest daughter who does not have a younger sibling. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, understands, Rabbi Yossi says, no, younger means youngest, older means oldest. Now Abai comes along and says, the machlokas, b'shteki tebanos, is only in a situation where there are two groups of daughters from two separate wives. Aval bekat achos. But if we're only dealing with what? If we're only dealing with one set of daughters, meaning one set of daughters from one wife, divrei hakol, gidola mamish, kitana mamish, emtsois bishma karila. So this is interesting. Abaye says the only reason there's machlokis over here is because we're dealing with two different sets of daughters from two separate sets of wives. Look, not two sets of wives, but two separate wives. Look at Rashi just a moment. It's three lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Machlokis b'shtei kidei banos. Hasamu di'ika l'meimar kol kat rishona avet inesh dekari l'gdola l'gabi kat shnia. V'chol kat shnia avet inesh dekari kitana l'gabi kat rishona. The ambiguity over here is because, again, you have two separate groups. However, again, when dealing with one group of daughters that come from one wife, the older refers to the oldest daughter, younger refers to the youngest daughter, and the middle daughter would be identified by name. So Abaye said to Abaye, Elami Ato, top of Samechei, and so is Shebekat Shniatishdari. So we'll say, if that's the case, Abaye, using that logic, even in a case, ultimately, again, where there are two sets of daughters, again, remember, what Abaye just said was, a middle daughter is always identified as a middle daughter. If that's the case, says, which by the way has exceptional profundity in general with the nature of middle children, right? Middle child is always called the middle child. So therefore, says Rav Adar Bar Masna Tabayi, if that's the case, even in the situation where what? There are two wives or two separate groups of children, and the father is mekadesh, either an older daughter or a younger daughter, the middle daughter should be exempt from the ambiguity. Why? Because you just told me that's what? That middle children are always defined as what? As middle children. So the Gemara says, Hachama Askin, and what's the case? Oh, B'che'in Sham Elo Gidolu Ketana. But so the case that we're dealing with, meaning in the two sets, is where what? Is where, again, there was no middle child. Right? In each of the sets, there was only an older and a younger child. V'hachinayim Mistabra, this seems to be clear, Dim Isa De'ika, because if indeed there was a middle child, Lisnie, then it should have been stated. U'latamech, and using that logic, and so Shebekat Mishona, Devadai Sveka Vasirale Mikatani. But Rabbi says, using that logic, when you have the middle child in the first group, which Rabbi says we know does exist because that was part of the ambiguity, Devadai Sveka Vasira Mikatani La, is the middle child explicitly talked about again in the first set of children in the first case of the Mishnah? So Hachi Ashta Hasam Tana Kitana Dida Li Isura Vuhuadin Lahak Dikashi Shamina. But Rabbi says we understand it to mean the following, that when we say that the younger sister is Asr, actually when we say Asr, we mean that she's Asr Misafek, then of course it goes without saying that we're dealing with the one who is older than her as well. Hacha im Isa Diika. But here, if there was in fact a middle child, Nisnie, then ultimately she should have been stated explicitly, meaning her existence should have been stated explicitly. Amrale Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua L'Rava Ha Pesach Dechikat Achas Dami. But one second, let's go back to the case of Pesach. So both of the case of Pesach was ultimately the Brisa that we mentioned before, where a person makes a neder ultimately again, Asering something, up until Pesach, to which the Gemara says, this is comparable to the case of where what? There's only one set of children from one wife, and yet what? Upligi, and yet Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi still argue about the potential for ambiguity in that case. Amarle Pesach is different. Hasam Balishna Da'alma Kamifligi. So both say, in the Brisa by Pesach, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, are arguing in Lishonos. Mar Sover Ad Pesach, Ad Pnei Pesach, Ad Kamei Pescha. So one opinion says that when you use the Lashon of Ad Pnei Pesach until the face of Pesach, that means up until Pesach arrives. Umar Saver, in the other opinion, says, no, ad mifni Pesach. Ultimately, ad pnei Pesach means until Pesach passes before us, or until Pesach is over. So bottom line, halacha l'maisa, we are left with a fundamental machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, in a case where a man is mekadesh one of his daughters, and he uses an ambiguous lashon like an older daughter or a younger daughter. What does that mean? Especially now, this is especially confusing. Now, remember, obviously, if he has one wife, and he has two daughters, one is older, one is younger, then what? Then there's no safek, because older means oldest, younger means youngest. Any more than that seems to enter into the realm of safek. So we'll say, the way the Rambam paskins in this particular case is like Rabbi Yossi. The Rambam understands that people do not make ambiguous statements, and therefore when the father says that he was Mekadesh, his older daughter, we interpret older to mean what? To mean oldest. And if he says, as Mekadesh, my younger daughter, we interpret younger to mean youngest. And therefore, that's how the Rambam paskins in this case. Therefore, only the oldest daughter will be Mekudeshes, only the youngest daughter will be Mekudeshes, but all the other daughters are not Mekudeshes or Suffolk Mekudeshes at all. Says the Mishnah. Ha'omer the Isha. A man says to a woman, Kidashtich, I was Mekadesh you. V'hi omeres, lo kidashtani. And she says, no, you didn't. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Hu aser bekrovo savi, hi mutaris bekrovav. He is aser to marry any of her relatives, but she is permitted to marry his relatives. Now, we'll say, now what's the logic over here? If you look at Rashi, first Rashi in the Mishnah, hu aser bekrovo sav, dishav inhu alei chaticha di isura, bahodasa. So we'll say, so this Mishnah is espousing the principle of Shavi anafshe chaticha di isura. So Rabosi, there's a concept where sometimes if I say something, my word by itself does not have the ability to create an objective halachic reality, but it does have the ability to create a subjective halachic reality. So if a man says to a woman, I was Mekadesh you, I married you, and she said, no, you didn't. So remember, we'll discuss in the Gemara, but in the absence of witnesses, so he can't make her into a married woman. But what he can do is what? What he can do is create a status for himself. And the status for himself in this particular situation is that he says he's married to her. So okay, if you say married to her, you're married to her. So the ramifications of that are that he may not marry any of her relatives. Remember again, we're always operating from a perspective that a man can marry more than one wife. So in this situation where he says, I marry you, he can't marry her relatives. What's the impact of her statement on her? Absolutely nothing. Because Lamaisig and she can marry any of his relatives. Next case. So the Gemara says, He Omer is Kidashtani. She says to the man, you are Mekadesh me. V'hu Omer lo Kidashtich. And he says, no, I didn't. So what's the halacha? Hu muter bekrovo seha. He is permitted to marry her relatives. V'hi asura bekrovav. And she is usher ultimately in his relatives. So we'll say same exact principle. In this case, she's the one who's claiming that she's married to him. Therefore, she's usher in his relatives. He's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Therefore, he's muter in her relatives. Next, kidashtich. Man says, I was mekadesh you. V'yomeres lo kidasht ela biti. She says, no, I think you got a little confused. You weren't mekadesh me, you are mekadesh my daughter. You're mekadesh my daughter. Okay. So who aser bekrovos gidolos? So both say, so remember, so the man will be aser in the relatives of the mother, because that's the woman who he claims he is married to. However, gidolo mutaris bekrovav, but the mother is going to be mutter in his relatives, the guy's relatives, because obviously she's not agreeing that she's married. Hu mutter bekrovas ketana. The man is permitted to marry the relatives of the ketana, of the daughter, because remember again, the man is not claiming that he's married to her. Uketana mutaris bekrovav, and of course the ketana herself is married, is permitted to marry the relatives of the man. We'll see the novelty in that statement in just a little bit. Next case, kidashti es bitcha. A man comes along and says to a woman, I was mekadesh your daughter. Vihi omeres lo kidashta ela osi. No, you didn't marry my daughter, rather what? You married me. Who aser bekrovos kitana? So we'll say, ultimately, again, the man will be aser in the relatives of the kitana, of the daughter, whom he claimed he married. Uketana mutaris bekrovav, but the kitana ultimately will be permitted in his relatives. Hu muter bekrovos gidola, he will be permitted to marry the relatives of the mother. Ugidola asura bekrovav, but the mother who claims that she's married to the man will what? Will be aser in his relatives. So we'll say, so again, All of these cases are espousing the same exact principle, which is what? That when you say that something is asr, you can't change objective reality, but your statement absolutely changes subjective reality. Says the Gemara Utsricha. Now, what the Gemara is bothered by is the obvious question of why do I need the Mishnah to say all of these cases, right? All of these principles are exactly the same. Utsricha. So remember again, Utsricha, Diyashmo, Inon, Gabe. So I would have thought the following. I would have thought in the case where what? Where ultimately, again, it is the man who's making the statement. Right? He's making the statement that says, I was Mekadesh you. So I would have thought, Mishum de Gabra lo ichpasle umikri. So I say, maybe I'd say, you know what, men, sometimes you're not so attentive to details. So maybe whatever, it doesn't matter to him so much if he says, I married you, but he's not sure. And I'll say, remember, coming from the same perspective, if he's married to this woman, so what's the big deal? That sounds like a strange statement. Right? Meaning, in other words, it doesn't preclude his ability to marry other women as well. So okay, so he's married to this one, he's married to that one. The only real fallout for him from this particular situation is he will not be able to marry the relatives of this particular woman. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Gabi Dide, it's the first white line in Rashi. Actually, forget, look at Rashi, Tzricha. Lashmo inon bekulu. Demisha asra atzla bediburo nesar, umishalo asra atzma inon nesar, Gabi Dide. Kiamar kidashtich, when a man says to a woman, I was Makadeshu, lo misra ihi bikrovav. She, and remember, she's saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. So that's a case where ultimately, again, she will not become prohibited to his relative. Mishum di'iu shakure mishaker. Ve'gabra lo ichpas le'im osra atzma bikrova sechinam. Maybe he's telling the truth, maybe he's lying, but the truth is it doesn't really matter to him. Why? Because the potential fallout from the reality of this statement is not so great. However, back to the Gemara, aval ihi ema ilav dekimla bedibura lo havas amra. So I would have thought, when a woman makes a statement and she says what? You are Mekadesh me, right? I'm married to you. That, remember, for a woman to make this statement, the stakes are much higher. And therefore, perhaps, if a woman makes this statement, then what? Then we should believe her, and we should ultimately, again, prohibit him from marrying her relatives as well. So what the Gemara, the Havamina is, when a man says stuff, okay, I can take it with a grain of salt. And therefore, again, perhaps I don't believe him. When a woman says something, the stakes are so much higher that maybe we should believe her in this situation. Kamashmalan, that in all of these cases, when someone makes a statement and says, you married me, and the other party denies it, the most that could happen over here is you could change subjective reality, in other words, reality for the individual making the statement, but not objective reality. Kidashtich v'yomeres, sahasu lamali. So we'll say, so remember again, why do I need this additional case? To which the Gemara says, so we'll say, remember again, this is the case where what? Man is saying, I married you, and woman is saying, no, you didn't marry me, who did you marry? You married my daughter. So we'll say, so in that case, again, so the Gemara says, why do I need this case? Lamali, it's the Sagadai Khamina Demidaraisa Hemne Rahmaralaav, Midrabanon Hemino Lidida, Vitisar Barta Bidibura. I might have thought to both say that since biblically the Torah believes the father to say that he married off his daughter, we learn this sugya. I might have thought that even though biblically a mother is not vested with that same level of credibility, but maybe what? Maybe Midrabanon she is. And therefore when the mother says to the guy, you didn't marry me, but rather you married my daughter, at least Midrabanon, we would believe her words. Kamashon, no. Kamashon Rabbo said that even Midrabanon, a mother is not vested with the credibility to say that she accepted Kiddushin on behalf of her daughter, or that somebody else married her daughter. And therefore, again, the principle would be the same. Only the one making the statement creates a personal Isser, but no other additional Isser is created. Kiddash des Bitra. So we'll say, so why do I need this next case? So remember again, this case, the man is saying, I was Mekadesh your daughter. And what does the woman say? What does the woman say? No, you weren't Mekadesh your daughter, but what? You were Mekadesh me. So why do I need this case? I did the Tanaha, Tananamiha. Suppose I twitch the Gemara says, you're right. This last case you don't really need, but rather what? Once we listed all of you, suppose it is a stylistic idea that sometimes, once the Mishnah is already mentioning so many different cases, then what? We'll finish it up. Finish it up. You're right. I don't actually in this case because the principle has been established. But once I'm stating all of them, I'll include this one as well. So we'll say, so therefore again, So lemaisa, what comes out from this Mishnah is that when a person makes a statement indicating that they are married to someone else, that's, and this is without Eden, there's no other independent corroboration of this statement. It's simply my word against other. I tell the woman, I married you. Woman says, no, you didn't. So we'll say, in a case like this, the most I could do is create personal isur. Shabi anav shechaticha v'isura. But again, no other isur is created for the other party. So it says, the Gemara itmar, Rav amar kofin, u'shmul amar mevakshin. Now we'll say, now we go a little bit weiter. So now listen to this. Now we're going to read this, and then we're going to explain it. Rav says, we force him to give a get. We force the man to give a get. And Shmuel says, we request from him to give a get. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ahia. Which case are you talking about over here? Ilei ma'aresha. If you want to say it's the first case of the Mishnah. Lav kofen ika. Velo mivakshin ika. So let's remember again, in the first, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, lo kofen ika. So we'll say, if you're talking about a case where he says what? He says, I married you. He says, I married you. And she says, no, you didn't. Right? So in that case, I will say, there's no get. There's no get. Why is there no get? Because she's not married. She's not married. So if so, there's no kofin, there's no mvakshin. Ella asefa. Rather what? It must be talking about the sefa. I will say, now what's the sefa? Look at Rashi again. This is five lines down in Rashi, last four words on the line. Ella asefa. Da amri kidashtani. Rather, I will say, the case over here is where what? Where he comes along and says, that's what? I was mekadish your daughter, and she says what? Or it was the truth, I take that back. This could be either case. This could be the case of where she says ultimately again, you're Mekadesh me, and he says what? Nothing, I didn't do anything. So says the Gemara, ik ela seifa. So Bishlam of action, chai. So I understand if in that case, then you want to say to the man, listen, do me a favor, give her a get. Give her a get. Then that makes sense that you could be mevakesh. However, ela kofin amai, but how can you force him to give a get in that situation? Well, remember, we'll say, what is he saying in that situation? He's saying, lemaisa, I'm not married to you. So how can you force him to give her a get in that situation? So the Gemara says, amar lo nechali di isra b'kreva. After all, he could say, I don't want to give her a get. You know why? Because if I give her a get, we'll say, what happens? I can't marry her sister. I can't marry her mother. I can't marry her daughter. I don't want that. So says the Gemara, Ella Shmaisa Ahadadi Itma. Rather, Rav and Shmuel are actually not arguing. Rather, Rav and Shmuel are making one cohesive statement. Itmar, so the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Mevakshimi Menolitein Get. So Shmuel says that in these cases, we request from him to give her a get. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Ushmaisisod derabu Shmuel ahadadi itmar lo lach lo gzual zubo el lahov sif ha'acheron mashlo pireish harishon." Rather, again, Rav and Shmuel are complementing each other. So Shmuel says, "Rabosai, in the case where she says that what you are married to me, you married me," and he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." So what happens? So Shmuel says, "You know what? We request from him to give her a get." Why do we request from him to give her a get, Rabosai? Because here's the problem. She's saying that she's married. She's saying that she's married to him. It's going to cause a big shidduch problem for her if she doesn't get a get from him. Because here she's saying of her own volition, I'm married to you. And if we don't remedy this situation, she's going to be stuck. So what does Beis Din do? Beis Din says to the guy, listen, I know you're saying nothing happened, and we believe you that nothing happened, but we've got a problem. Do you mind remedying the problem by giving her a get? It's true that by remedying this problem, you will not be able to marry certain relatives of hers, but can you help out? However, and Rav says, that's Shmuel's statement, and Rav comes along and says, Amar Rav, im nasan get me atzmo, kofin osa liten ksuva. Which Rav comes along and says, oh, and by the way, if he gives a get on his own without being asked, then Rav will say, what does that tell us? Then most probably what she's saying is correct. In other words, if you have a case where what? Where he's saying, ultimately, I did not. She's saying, you married me. And he's saying, what? He's saying, no, I did it. And then suddenly he gives a get of his own volition without being asked. So says Rav, that tells us that there's probably credibility to what she's saying, because why else would he be giving her a get of his own volition, knowing that, again, the giving of that get creates negative repercussions for him. And if he gives a get of his own volition, then you know what? We force him to give her a ksuva also. Because after the get, because again, remember, that's what you get, that's the divorce settlement. Right? That's money. you force him to pay a ksuba settlement, because the fact that he gave a get of his own volition tells us that at least on some level what she's saying is correct and they really were married. So the Gemara says, Itmar nami amarav achavar ada amarav, varmili amarav achavar ada amarav, hamnuna amarav, kofin umivakshin. So what do? We go ahead and we force him to give a get and we request. So the Gemara says, Tarti? What does that mean? How can you force him and request from him? Haki kamina, this is what it means to say. Bevakshim en aliten get. We ask of him, Rabbo, say, in this case where she says that she's married to him, make a request, can you please give her a get in order to remedy this situation? In nasan me'atzma, if he gives of his own, kofin oso litin ksuba. We'll say, if he gives a get of his own volition, then what? Then indeed what we force him to do is to give a ksuba, because that seems to indicate to us that there's raglayim, that there's ultimately credibility to her statement. Amar Rav Yehuda. So we'll say, so now the Gemara, so now that sugya ends. Amar Rav Yehuda. Hamekadish be'ed echad. Now we'll say, now we're going to get into a very interesting sugya. So take home message, ultimately again from this sugya is that when a person makes a claim that he's married to someone or she's married to someone, shavi anav shechatichadi, so they make themselves usser, I'm believed to create my subjective reality, not believed to create objective reality, the Rambam does accept this distinction of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore again in a situation where she says she's married to him, we request of him to give the get. Now if he says no, Beis Din will not force him. However, if he does give a get of his own volition, we say, aha, yeah, you gave a get of your own volition. That seems to lend credibility ultimately to her statement, and therefore what? We will force him to give a ksuva.
Of your own volition means after we ask him, or before we
ask him? No, before we even ask him. If you ask him, that's of his own volition, that's not called asking him, that's called reactive. Of his own volition means he's being proactive. Now we come to an interesting discussion. What happens if you are Mekadesh, a woman, with just an Eid Echad? One witness. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Choshish ain't Choshin the Kiddushin. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kiddushin performed in the presence of one witness is not a valid Kiddushin. So watch this. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen to the following situation. This is going to be a fascinating discussion. What happens if the man and woman both admit that they're married? Or they admit, I mean, there's no contentious situation over here. Rachel, right? Yaakov and Rachel both agree they got married. It happened to be that there's an Eid Echad. So my, what's the halacha? So we'll say, so now you have two people. So I understand if you want to say that there's an Eid Echad, there's a machlokas. What happens? No machlokas. Well, so every once in a while you come to a situation, there's no machlokas. Right? So no machlokas. Everybody's agreeing that they're married. Shalom Yisrael. But it just happens that the chasana, they only had one witness. So what's the status of the marriage? So the Gemara says, in velo v'rafye biyadeh. So we'll say, so they asked this question to Rav Yehuda. So sometimes he thought yes, sometimes he thought no, but the matter, rafye biyadeh literally means the matter was loose in his hands. In other words, Rav Yehuda did not come to a bottom line psak. So says the Gemara, itmar, so we'll say, so itmar, amrav nachman, amrav shmuel. So we'll say, you understand over here, Rashi points out, what the fundamental shaila is the following. What is the role of Eidos? Do we say that the role of Eidos is to make sure that no one's lying? In which case, if both parties agree to what happened, then what? Then what? Then I don't need Eidos, right? I don't need Shteid. In other words, again, I only need Eidos to make sure that no one's lying. But if both man and woman agree that they're married, then Lamaisa, again, there's no contention. Or do we say that no, that Shtei Eidim, two witnesses, it's part and parcel of the fabric of Kiddushin. The same way that I have to give a woman something that's Shabbat Pruta, so I need Shtei Eidim. It's not a function of lying. It's just a function, it's a mechanistic detail of Kiddushin. We'll say, you hear this? It's a fundamental Chakira. How do we view the role of Eidim in Kiddushin? Is it to prevent lying? And therefore, again, or is it part of the fabric of Kiddushin? What's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is in this case over here where both man and woman are admitting that they're married. If y'all is part of the fabric of Kiddushin, Mazel Tov, I'm happy you both agree that you're married, but you still need Eidos. If on the other hand, it's prevent lying. If both agree, then I don't need Eidos. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel, HaMekadish Be'edechad in Choshishin. So we'll say, see, yet Rav Nachman's name is Shmuel, that if you do Kiddushin with one witness, that what? That Lamais again, the Kiddushin is not good. Va'afilu Shnehem Modim. And I both said, this is true even if what? even if both of them admit to the fact that they're married. So it seems to be over here that according to this approach, Eidus Rabosai is part of the fabric, is a mechanistic detail in Kiddushin, is not a din in just simply preventing lying. If from our Mishnah, a man says to a woman, I was Mekadesh you. V'yomeres lo kidashtani. And she said, no, you weren't. So what's the halacha? Who aser bikrovo sabi mutaras bikrovav? He is aser in her relatives, and she is permitted to marry his. So says the Gemara, what's going on over here? Idi ika edim. So if there are witnesses that he was Mekadesh, then what? Then what? The Rabbah said, again, if there are two, if a man says, I was to a woman, I was Mekadesh you. And she says, no, you weren't. And two witnesses come along and say, we saw him in Mekadesh. So what's the halacha, Rabbah say? They're married. So if there's Eidos, then why would she be permitted in his relatives? In other words, if there's Eidos, then she's married. And if there are no witnesses present, then ultimately, again, if there are no witnesses, then why is he believed? But what must be the case over here? The case must be is where there's one witness. And yet, if you look at Rashi, three lines up from the bottom, Ella Beid Echad, the Katani, who also be Krovo Seho, Amazesh Shemodelo Nasar, the Chash of Litvusei Kiddushin Kamei. So we see over here that the presence of an Eid Echad is not enough to necessarily make her a married woman, but is enough to what? Make him a married man. To which the Gemara says, Hacham asking, and what's the case over here? Kegon de Amrla, Kidashtich Bifne Ploni Uploni. The case of Rabbah says where what? Where he says to her, no, I was Mekadishu in front of Reuven and Shimon, but Vahochu Lahem Lemedina Sayam. The case of the Mishnah the Gemara suggests is where his claim is, I was Mekadishu in front of two witnesses, but what? They're away, right? They left the country. So therefore, there's no way for them to corroborate my statement. So Eisvei, it's another interesting case. A man divorced his wife, and then what? We had this in Gittin. A man divorced his wife, and then spent a night with her in a hotel. So I'll say, so what do we choshesh for over here? We're choshesh for over here that maybe that there was bia again, and it was bia for the sake of kiddushin. So the shaila now is, are we going to require him to give her another get or not? So says the Gemara, says the husband need not give her another get because presumably Beis Shammai is saying we're not choshesh that bia occurred. Beis Hillel says no, you require another get. So says the Gemara, what is the case? So if there were witnesses that mamash there was bia, so our Beis Shammai say that you don't need another get. Because remember the idea over here is if we see bia, we assume that bia was for the sake of kiddushin, for a second kiddushin, and not for the sake of znos. So if there was eidos that there was bia, so why would Beis Shammai say that he doesn't have to give her another get? If there are no witnesses, my time with Beis Hillel. Why would Beis Hillel say, if there are no witnesses, then why would Beis Hillel ultimately say that you require a get? Elalav be'eid echad. Oh, rather, what must be the case if a rabbi say, where there's an eid echad? And therefore, what do you see? Despite the fact that there's only an eid echad, Beis Hillel says that you still require a get. So you see from here that what? That an eid echad is significant. Ulatameich, but according to that logic, a masefa, look at the end of that braisa. Umodim ben eskar shamina eirusin, shein tzrichayim en a get. But yet, everyone agrees that what? That if the husband divorced his wife from Erisin, in other words, they never completed the marriage, it was never Nisuin, but he divorced her from Erisin, and then what? He spends the night with her in the hotel. Everyone agrees that he does not need to give her another get, which Rabbah says another way of saying what? Everyone agrees that we're not Choshesh or Bia. Everyone agrees that we assume Bia did not occur. Why? Because literally his heart is not connected to Rabbah, which literally means he's not familiar with her. The issue over here is that if they got divorced from Eros and means Watra Bosai, they were never intimate with one another. If they were never intimate with one another, then Lemaisa, again, the fact that they spent the night in a hotel does not automatically tell us that something occurred. If they got divorced from Nisuin, which means that they were intimate with each other, and now they're spending the night together, school together in a hotel, then in a chinami, we are choshesh that something occurred. So Gemara says, 1 second. And if you want to say that, if you tell me now, that the case of the case in Gittin, is a case of where there's an eid echad. And if you want to tell me that an eid echad is believed, mali min ha'erusin, mali min ha'nisuin, then ultimately, again, what does it matter if they got divorced from erusin or nisuin? The presence of an eid echad should what? Should require ultimately for him to give her another get. Elacha ma'a skin, or rather, what's the case of Rabbosai? Kigon de'ika edeyichot veleka edebiyo. Oh, the case of Rabbosai in Gittin is where what? There are witnesses that they were alone together, edeyichot, but no witnesses that what? That bia actually occurred. Therefore, what do we do with Edei Yichud? Beishamai Savri, Beishamai says, turn the page, Lo Amrinon, Amud Beis, Lo Amrinon, Hein Hein Edei Yichud, Hein Hein Edei Bia. So Beishamai says, we do not assume, Rabosai, that Edei Yichud are automatically Edei Bia. Beisulal Savri, Hein, and therefore again, Beishamai will say, you don't require him to give her another get. O Beisulal Savri, Amrinon, Hein Hein Edei Yichud, Hein Hein Edei Bia. Basila, on the other hand, holds what's Rabosai, that Lamaisa, again, Edei Yichud are the equivalent of Edei Bia. Therefore, we assume that Bia occurred, and therefore, again, we assume that that Bia occurred the Shem Kiddushin, and therefore, we're going to require the husband to give her another get. Umodim, and everyone agrees, Vadai, Beneskar Shemina Irusin, Delo Aminan, Hein Hein Edei Yichud, Hein Hein Edei Bia. Why? Mepnein She'ein Libo Gaspa. Rabosai, everybody agrees that if the couple got divorced from Erusin, and then all we have is Edei Yichud and not Edei Bia, everyone agrees that Edei Yichud are not the equivalent of Edei Bia. Why? Because since they got divorced from Erusin, he's not familiar with her, meaning he's not, and therefore again, we don't assume that Bia occurred unless what? Unless what? Unless we see it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Merto, Mishmei Derav, HaMekadish Be'ed Echad. So once I remember, we still really haven't totally answered our question. So we're still trying to figure out over here, if a man was Mekadish woman with Eid Echad, with one witness, what's the status of the Kiddushin? So therefore comes along, Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Merto, name of Rav, HaMekadish Be'ed Echad in Choshishin LeKiddushin. If a man is mekadesh a woman with just eid echad, right, the kiddushin is not good. Va'afilu shnehem modim. Even if both admit, quote unquote, that they are married, eid echad is still not enough to create an effective marriage. Amar Rabba Barav Huna, hamekadesh be'eid echad. If a man is mekadesh in the presence of one witness, be'dina Rabba Amri in choshesh on the kiddushin. The great Beis Din said that we do not assume the kiddushin is valid. Man be dina rabba, who is the great Beis Din? Rav. This is the Beis Din of Rav. The Yigdei Amri, others say, Amarav Barafuna, Amarav, Hamekadish be'ed echad, if one is just Mekadish one with the eid echad, be dina rabba, the great Beis Din said, Amri in choshish on the Kiddushin, we need not be concerned with the Kiddushin. Man be dina rabba, who is the great Beis Din? So the Gemara says, Rebbe. Ultimately, again, it's the Beis Din of Rabbi. So, Masiv Rav Achdoboy Bar Ami. So, Rav Achdoboy Bar Ami raised the kasha. Shnayim Shebom Dinas Hayom. Let's listen to this case. So, two men. It's really three people. Two men come from overseas. The Isha Imahem, and there's a woman with them. The Chavila Imahem, and the woman comes carrying a package. Okay, so two men, a woman, and a package. It's not a joke, right? Two men, a woman, and a package. Now watch this case. Now listen to this. So Ze Omer, get ready. Ze Omer, Zo Ishti, Vezo Avdi, Vezo Chavilasi. So we'll call them Reuven, Shimon, and Leah. Reuven says, this woman, Leah, she's my wife. Shimon is my servant, and the package belongs to me. V'ze Omer, and Shimon says, Zo Ishti, Leah, she's my wife. Ze Avdi, Reuven, he's my servant. V'ze Chavilasi. And ultimately, again, it's my package. What does the woman say? Leah says, Leah Omer, Eisha Omeres, Eilu Shnei Avodai, both these guys, they're both my servants. The Chavila Shali, and the package is mine. So I'll say, so what, can you imagine you're on the Beis Din, right? Right, for this, like you're seeing this, oh my gosh, it's only Sunday, right? You know, so says the Gemara, so what's the halacha? So Tzricha Shnei Gittin, so she requires a get from both of these men. She requires a get from both of these men. So Tzricha Shnei Gittin, the Gova Ksuva Samina Chavila, and she is able to collect her Ksuva from the package, and so the value of the goods in the package. And Rabbos, we're not going to get into, Rashi points out over here that if the value of the package exceeds the value of the ksuva, then the bezin has to hold up. We're not going to get into that right now. But for our purposes, again, the halakha in this case is she receives a get from each of these men. Because Rabbos, I remember, both of them are claiming that they're married to her. So she'll receive a get from both of them, and she collects her ksuva from the package. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, now what's the case over here? So remember, Rabbos, both of these men are claiming that they're married to her, but what? Her claim is she's married to neither of them. So what's the case? So we'll say, if Reuben's bringing two witnesses that he's married to her, and Shimon's bringing two witnesses that he's married to her, so mi matzi amra elu shnei avadim. So we'll say, one thing is clear, which is, alright, what we're going to do with the competing claims of Reuben and Shimon, we'll have to see. But one thing is clear, which is what? She's not going to be believed to say that they're her two servants. Mi matzi amra elu shnei avadim, v'chavila shali. Oh, rather, what must be the case? The case must be is where Reuben showing up with an Eid Echad, or one witness, Shimon showing up. So Reuben showing up with an Eid Echad who supports his claim that he's married to Leah. Shimon showing up with the Eid Echad that says that he's married to Leah. So Rabbi says, so therefore what? V'tizbara, one second. If you're showing up with an Eid Echad, V'tizbara, Eid Echad b'hachosha, Mimhen, Rabbi says, here's the issue. Eid Echad is effective to a degree, but one thing is clear, which is when the testimonies of Eid Echad contradict each other, then what happens? They cancel each other out. So the Gemara says, Ella lemishre la'alma. Rather, I will say, what's the halacha? The halacha over here ultimately is to permit her to marry everyone else, the kuli amalo pligi de shari. Everyone will agree that lamaisa, this woman is permitted to marry anyone in the world, meaning she's not bound by the statement of these two men. V'hachi hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Tzricha shnegin kedei ligvos ksuvasa minag chavila. I will say what it means to say is that what? That should she want to collect the ksuva, should she want to collect these goods in the package, she would require a get from each of the individuals. Rabbi Meir da'amar metaltali mishtabdi l'ksuvasa. And the Braisa reflects a view of Rabbi Meir who says that what? That you can in fact collect the ksuva even from movable property. Fine. So therefore, Abbas said, this case doesn't really play into our discussion. So at the end of the day, my havi'ala. Abbas, remember again, you know, about 25 minutes ago on Amud Beis, we started with a very simple question, which was, can you affect Kiddushin with Eid Echad? Right? That's our million-dollar question. So a man affects Kiddushin, a man says he's Mekadesh a woman. Abbas, remember the case we were dealing with? Couple gets married in the presence of Eid Echad. Now the beauty of this case is what? Both man and wife agree that what? That they got married. That they're married. But there's only an Eid Echad. So our Shaila was, what's the status of Eidos? Or what's the role of Eidos in marriage? Is the role of Eidos to ensure that no one lies? Or is the role of Eidos because it's part one of the mechanistic details of marriage? That's our fundamental Shaila. The nafkamina will be, man and woman get married, both agree that they got married, but they only did it in the presence of an Eid Echad. Is such a marriage good or not? What's the answer? So says the Gemara, Mai Havi Allah. What is the answer? Rav Kahana Amar, Ein Choshishin L'Kiddushin. Rav Kahana says, I'm sorry, if you only have Eid Echad, the Kiddushin is not good. Rav Papa Amar, Choshishin L'Kiddushin. Rav Papa says, yes, the marriage is good. Machlokes. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, Mai Daitech. Rav Ashi says, Rav Kahana. Right, so Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana is saying it's not a good marriage. Rav Papa says it is a good marriage. Right, so Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, why do you say it's not a good marriage? The Yalfis Dover Mimamon. Rav Ashi says, remember, we had this earlier. There's a Gzeirah Shava of Dover. It says Dover by marriage, and it says Dover by Mamon, by monetary law. So what's the connection? So by Mamon, you need what, Rav Ashi? You need two Eidim. So I say the Gzeirah Shava teaches me that by marriage, I need two Eidim as well. But one second. By Mamon, there's a very important halacha, which is, Ima lahalan, hodaz baldin kemea Eidim dami. Oh! We'll say, what's the halacha by Dini Mamonis? If I say, I owe Reuven $1 million, and we'll say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? That admission creates halachic reality. Hoda'as Baldin, when the Baldin goes in and admits that he owes money, can be Eidim, it's as if there are 1 million witnesses. So okay, you want to make a Gzeirah Shava from marriage to money, no problem. Then you say, just like by monetary law, if somebody admits that they owe money to another party, that admission is the equivalent as if there's testimony. So I should say the same thing over here. What should I say? When two people admit that they're married, then what? Then what? and it's good, that's marriage. So no. Amar le, you can't compare the two. Hasam lo kai chayiv lachrini. See, Rabbi saying, when I admit that I owe $1 million to Reuven, then what? Then Lamaisa again, I am not putting anyone at a disadvantage through that statement. Fine. I say that I owe Reuven $1 million. That's fine. I'm going to give Reuven $1 million. Hacha kai chayiv lachrini. Rabbi saying, in this case over here, where the couple goes ahead and admits, so to speak, that they are married, they are putting others at a disadvantage. How so? Look at Rashi. Both say, when I admit that I owe Reuven $1 million, let's assume right now that it's a case where there are no other creditors. Right? So I admit that I owe Reuven $1 million. The only person I'm putting at a disadvantage is who? It's me, because I'm going to pay it. However, in this case of marriage, hacha kachay velachrini shekrovov seha ne'es rubo ukrovav ne'es arambar. Also, remember again, when a couple makes a statement that are married to each other, Rabbi say they are putting others at a disadvantage. Who are they putting at a disadvantage? He can't marry her relatives. She can't marry his relatives. Rabbi say there's even a simpler part. The simpler part is, when they admit that they're married, she is now asura to everyone else in the world. So the ma'isa, such as, so I mean, you want to say, hoda'as baldin kameh edim, that admission is like 1,000,000 witnesses, is like 100 witnesses, that's fine. When do we say that? When the statement doesn't put anyone else at a disadvantage. But if a statement does put others at a disadvantage, who says that admission is enough? So the Gemara said, we're going to end this sugi now. Marzutra, so now we're jumping for a moment. So remember, we,
to other people,
they can't marry her. Right? He can't marry her mother, her sister, her daughter. She can't marry his brother, his father, his son. Also, again, on a global level, she can't marry anyone else. So there's a huge disadvantage, legabe others.
That's okay with each of them.
I'm sorry?
That's okay with each of them.
That's okay with each of them, but it's not okay for everybody else.
Other people,
right? So, again, I want to be clear. The idea, remember, just follow the train of thought over here. The train of thought was that we're gonna say that you need edus, you need two witnesses by kiddushin. Why? Davar mimaman. It's exer shava to monetary law. Monetary law needs two witnesses, therefore kiddushin needs two witnesses. Well, if you're comparing it to monetary law, there's a concept by monetary law of hodas baldin kameh edim. When I admit something, that's the equivalent of testimony. If that's the case, by kiddushin that should work as well. When the couple admits that they're married, that's like testimony. The Gemara says no. Hodas baldin kameh edim works by monetary law when your hodah doesn't put anyone else in this situation. Let me give you an example. If I admit, Reuven, I owe you $10,000. And what Rabbi say? I owe Shimon $10,000. And guess what? It's in a shtar. It's in a document. So we don't say, well, you admitted it. Why Rabbi say? Because that admission puts someone else at a disadvantage. So meaning, I say, does baldik me'idim when my admission doesn't disadvantage anyone else. But in this case over here, by marriage, my admission does disadvantage someone else because now there are other people who can no longer marry me, who can no longer marry this woman. So Rabbi say, now pause for a moment. Let's just finish it up. Rabbi say, give me 2 minutes. 2 minutes and then I'm going to be finished. Watch this. Don't listen to the end of this sugya. Marzutra, wait, 2 minutes. Oh, carpool? Okay, fine, then go. Fine. You want to call? You can put you on speakerphone. All right, it says the Gemara. It's just exciting. We're getting to the end of this. So, Marzutra v'Ravad Saba, B'nei Drav Mori Bar Isser. So, listen to this. Now, we're jumping for just a moment. So, Marzutra, Ravad Saba, were the sons of Rav Mori Bar Isser. Okay? Now, Rav Mori Bar Isser dies. The children, the sons, are splitting up the estate. Polig nechasayhu bahadi adadi. So we'll say, don't be late. So what happens? So now they're splitting up the estate. What happens? So now what happens? They want to split up their father's estate. What's their shayla? Do we need witnesses to witness the division? Right? Two brothers were dividing up the estate. Do we need witnesses to witness the division of land or not? So on one end you could say, the Torah says you need two witnesses. Why? Because why? You need two witnesses. Why? For what purpose? In order that no one else, that neither of the parties tries to, what's the right word?
Retract.
right, or tries to go ahead and rewrite history. So the brothers say, Lo Machi Haji Behu. I'm sorry, Va'anan Lo Hajri. So we're brothers, we get along well, and the truth is we agree with each other. Whatever we decide on today is going to remain settled. We're not going to retract. So if that's the case, if it's to avoid retraction, neither of us are in danger of retracting or reneging on one another. O Dilma, the other possibility is, Lo Mekayma Milsa Ela Basadi. Maybe the other possibility is that what? Maybe when it comes to monetary law, just as part of the mechanistic fabric of monetary law, you can't affect monetary transactions without the presence of witnesses. If that's the case, Rabbi said, we can be the most wonderfully, we get along, we're not going to check, but you still need witnesses. So what's the answer? Rabbi says, so Amar lo, lo ivru sadi el l'shakri. Rabbi says, a very profound statement. Witnesses were only created for liars. I was also saying, what that means is that the role of witnesses by monetary law is to prevent parties from lying. So that inachinami, is actually very important. You should, so first of all, let's talk about the halakha by monetary law for just a moment, then we'll jump back to Kiddushin. So by monetary law, if two parties agree to forego the presence of witnesses in their transactions, they absolutely have the ability to do so because they are relying ultimately on the honesty and integrity of the other. By monetary law, the halacha is the presence of witnesses is not part of the mechanistic fabric of monetary transactional law, but rather it's what? It's to preserve the credibility of the transaction to ensure that neither of the party lies. Therefore, if both the parties choose to forego that right, Now, boss, I'll just tell you, halacha lemaisa, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down. Actually, very interesting. Kitzur writes that it is usur to lend money to another person, not in the presence of witnesses. Why, says the Kitzur? Why? Because if you do so, you are in violation of lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. So the Kitzur paskins, because why? If you go ahead and you lend money not in the presence of witnesses, you are setting up a reality whereby, in what? Technically speaking, one of the parties has the ability to lie. Because since there is no edus, so one of the parties has the ability to lie. And the Kitzur paskins, you cannot create a monetary transactions where one has the right to lie. Now again, that's the Kitzur saying, it's saying you shouldn't do it. But technically speaking, if parties have the right to do it, it works. So both sides. So when it comes to monetary law, the presence of witnesses is to preclude either parties by lying. What about by Kiddushin? So both sides, Shulchan Aruch paskins, by Kiddushin, you must have two witnesses. Even if what? Even if both parties are madly in love and they're never going to lie, they're going to live happily ever after. Why? Because by Kiddushin, the presence of witnesses is part of the transactional fabric of Kiddushin. And it has nothing to do with preventing lying or preventing it. It has to do with the fact that just like the ring has to be a Shava Pruta, so there has to be witnesses as part of the transactional nature of marriage. Therefore, if man and woman get married, and there is only an Eid Echad, even if they're both loaded to the fact that they got married, the halacha is, that they both say the marriage is not chal, the marriage is not good, the kiddushin is not good, and we would obligate them to go ahead and get married again, this time in the presence of Shtei Eidim. All right, they both say, we'll stop over here for today. Yashar Koyach.